Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Good evening. Welcome to church. How's been your week? All right. We've been looking at the saint in prayer. And last week, the week before, we looked at the pattern of prayer we saw in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that, let this man also be in you that was in Christ Jesus. So there is a mind, there's a thinking that was in Christ that we saw in the place of prayer that gives us a different understanding about what prayer is all about entirely. There's something about looking at the ministry of prayer in the life of the Lord Jesus that gives us a different orientation entirely about what prayer is. One more time, James chapter 1 and verse 5. I want you to notice, because it takes repetition to establish certain truths. We're not going to stay with James tonight, but there's something I want to call our attention to again. James chapter 1 and verse 5. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7, for let not a man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Next verse, verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Notice that the Lord was mentioned in verse 5. The Lord was mentioned in verse 7. Then the rest of the mention has to do with the one who is doing the praying. So really, this verse of scripture lays out doctrine. It gives us the doctrine, the understanding we ought to have when it comes to prayer. Notice it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. Let him ask with this understanding. It's asking from God, who gives, number one. Number two, he gives to all men. Number three, he gives lavishly, luxuriously. Number four, he doesn't find fault. Then notice the second part is the reception part. But let him ask in faith. Nothing doubting or nothing wavering. For he that wavers like the wave of the sea, driven by the winds. Now, when you use the word winds there, the word winds there is a reference to thoughts that arise in your mind contrary to how God was presented in that verse. Let me slow that a little bit. Notice, look at verse 6. But let him ask in faith. So, let's come down to normal language. Let him ask with the points that were presented in verse 5 in mind. Let him ask in faith. Let him ask knowing God gives. Let him ask knowing that God gives to all men. Let him ask knowing the fact that God gives lavishly. Let him ask knowing that God does not what? Find fault. Hallelujah. Now, God doesn't find fault means many things. One of the things it means is that it doesn't look at your conduct when it comes to receiving answers in prayer. Now, let me ask you a question now. If God doesn't look at your conduct to guarantee answers in prayer, then your conduct must not be what influences answers in prayer. Let me say it again. If God does not consider your conduct, which is why he gives to all men, means that even the man who is not a believer. So if he gives to all men means that even when you are not a believer, which should be a natural qualification, he will still give if you ask. So prayer is something that men do. Prayer is something that men do. It's something that men do to seek God's assistance. It's not something that is done to please God in that sense. It's something that men do in order to get God's ability or God's answer on this thing. That's what prayer is. You will soon understand why I'm saying that now, because it's important, because again, wrong thinking. It says, let him ask in faith, not in doubting. For he that doubts is like the wave of the sea. A wave is unstable. Driven by the winds and tossed. He's using a figure of speech to explain, you have a contrary thought to what has been presented. So this is how God is, but your experiences and that of others and things you were taught makes you think a bit differently. You are being driven with the wind and you are being tossed. Now, being tossed simply means you are not stable. What kind of stability? Anchoring the heart on the reality. That's what stability. You are being tossed means you are not stable. What stability is referring to? Anchoring your heart on the reality that God always gives. But men do not always receive. Because he just said after, for let not that man, which man? The man that is dealing with wind and dust. So he is governed by his experiences and not by faith. And in case you think the faith is something out of this world, it says that faith, I'm talking about the fact that he should know that God is not constraining his conduct. He should know that God doesn't withhold. He should know that God gives. He gives so much, he even gives to all men. He should know. So if my conduct is not being considered, the reason why answers come to prayer can't be my conduct. That's so important. For let not a man think he shall receive. So reception is the issue, and reception is governed by what that man thinks. Let not a man think. What is he thinking about? He's already thinking. God may say yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says hold on. Can you see thinking? Let not a man think. Which man? The man that is dreaming with the wind and dust. What is the wind? The wrong things he learned from experience, from the teaching of others, that is contrary to God's character, that is now influencing him in prayer. So when it's time to receive, that's a problem. Because when he wants to receive, he's considering himself. He's constraining experiences. He's not constraining God's character or God's reputation. And God's character and reputation is more important than any other thing. Glory to God. It looks so simple, but in the simplicity lies the power. You need to understand, when I pray and I ask for this, again, it will be amazing if we take an x-ray of people's thoughts when they are praying. Before they even pray, they have doubts about getting the answers. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Before they pray. You know, it's the reason why we pray religious prayers. I have prayed religious prayers. I have. I confess. My sins and iniquities, you remember no more. I have prayed it. I was going to pray for someone one day. He said, Pastor, pray for me that I will get the visa. So I stretched my hands to pray. As I closed my eyes, that was my mistake. I saw that they rejected him. How do you pray? So you can just do like this. Oh God, bless him. Your mouth doesn't want to say that they will, because you can see they're ready. I don't know why, but I saw that it was rejected. So I opened my eyes and I said, you know what? I'm thinking that. He said, yes, I'm also afraid. So I'm not asking, why do you now coerce me into the, when you already know that you will not receive? What is the problem? Let another man think he shall receive anything. You know what he's doing? He's using prayer as a religious cover. He's trying to satisfy his mind. Shebi, I prayed. But you didn't pray believing. What is the problem? You needed to settle in your heart that when I pray, God will give. You know, people say funny things that are religious. It sounds nice, but it's not true. That thing you're asking for, what if you're asking out of the will of God, you will get it? The best that God can do is to tell you, don't pray that way, but you will get it. Even though it's not the will of God. Man is the most difficult being in the universe. It's more difficult than angels. It's very complicated. God told man, I plead for you life and death. What's that? Multipurpose answer question, isn't it? Then God now can say, choose life. He said, no. He still went for death. You know, when you come to the exam, you say A or B. A is the answer. Then man still went for B. You ask yourself, how? What's wrong with you? He still chose death. How do you think? What do you think of such a being? Complicated. We even give you the answer. You still choose the wrong one. You understand? Now, so you settle in your heart before you ask. So your asking is a celebration. He will give. He always gives. That is prayer between you and God, particularly. Now, that posture about God is important because, again, we want to look at one or two things. Because some people think, it is because I prayed long that God answered. That's not why he answered. It's because I prayed intensely that God answered. That's not why he answered. It's because I added fasting that God answered. That's not why he answered. Matthew 6, verse 8. Matthew 6, verse 8. Or let's read from verse 5. Verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing where? In the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their what? Reward. So they've turned prayer into parade. You understand? They use it to impress. And when they give them the microphone, they pray long, flowing, eloquent prayers that carry no power. So, see next thing. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When you have shut the door, pray to thy Father which is secret, and thy Father which is secret shall reward thee openly. When you pray, use not what? Vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard. For they are much what? So notice the problem with the heathen. What is the problem with the heathen? They think. Their thinking is wrong. They think that because I said this long enough, God will hear. So they don't know. So it's a hit and miss affair. So I'm not heard because I shouted. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, Anna prayed. Her lips moved. Her voice was not heard. Was the prayer heard? Yes, instantly. How do we know instantly? Eli came on the scene. Even he mistook her prayer for somebody who is drunk. Then she said something. She explained herself. I have poured out my heart unto the Lord. Then the man said something. Go your way, and the God of Israel grant you. That was the seal. Her prayer was, that was the seal to the prayer. Her lips moved. So if it was about shouting, her prayer should not be heard. But our prayer was heard. I'm trying to let us see why we pray for long and without season. It is not to impress God. It's not God is saying that you've not shouted well because I've been observing you. You are too slow. You are too cold. If you really mean this thing, you'll be shaking. You know, if you shake, you have too much in prayer. You know, you can have a headache. You've not had it before. Notice, haven't you ever had? You have not had it before. But you have to change your posture. You told yourself that, what's going on here? And yeah, you are doing this. It's good to be intense in prayer, but it has sense. But when you leave prayer to receive something and you left with headache, you know, it's a problem. Now, because you think, if I do this and God sees it, and that's a problem. If I fast and God sees the fast, that's a problem. You are thinking that is what makes God. Your fasting helps you to focus. Because he just told you, let another man think. So fasting helps arrest your thinking. Can you see? God doesn't see whether you are eating or not eating. He's not saying, Sister Mace is very serious. She has not eaten for 2 days. We must not. People have died not eating. You know, my pastor, one day, he preached a message on fasting, scriptural fasting. And the minister called him, because he's on radio, and said, if my fellow minister had heard this message 2 years ago, he would not have died. He died on the 22nd day of his fast. No food, no water. What did he die of? Foolishness. Fasting does not make you more spiritual if you are doing nothing. It just makes you hungry and slim. That is, you lose weight compulsorily. It doesn't mean your prayers will be answered. Because before you fasted, God is the same. While you are fasting, it means him. When you finish fasting, who will be the same? God. Who should fasting change? You. So if fasting is not changing you, something is wrong. And when I say fasting is changing you, if you are not eating food, it's because you are eating something else. How many of you know what I'm saying? So can you see that if you are not eating food, and you are praying for you think it shall be hard for your much speaking. You've seen how they pray in a particular gathering. You said, that is the formula. Because 3 people came and said they got answers. So you also go home. You practice the same thing. You even practice the way they call the name of God. O God of Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego. The God that rescues from fire. So you know that he has to be called different names. The God that makes provision available before it is necessary. God Jehovah Jireh. So you know you pass the one that answered Abraham in his old age, Jehovah El Shaddai. You know what you are doing? You are copying a pattern. They think they will be hard for their much speaking. And that's not why they had. Think they will be hard for their much what? Speaking. Is that why God answers prayer? No. This is very important. Hebrews chapter 5. Let's see another scripture that shows. Remember what we said last week about Jesus. John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 18. What does it say? No man has seen God at any time. But the only begotten Son, who is in bosom of the Father, he has come to what? Declare him. Can you see that? So when you see Jesus, who do you see? Who do you see? God. So if God were a man and God became a man, how would he act? How would he live? How would he pray? You see all that in the ministry of Jesus. That's why we follow the example of Jesus even in prayer. Now, I said something important last week which you need to understand. If God became a man and he did become a man and he prayed, then prayer is something that men do. It can't be to get the attention of God. It must be something men do. If prayer is something that you need to do to impress God, when God became a man, after all, is God. He didn't need to pray. How come he prayed more earnestly? So if you follow his pattern, it must mean prayer is much more important when it comes to the will and plan and purpose of God on the earth that we realize. It can't be something used to bribe God or to move God or to push God. It must be something being used to forward divine purposes. Are you in Hebrews 5? Okay. Verse 7. Or let me from verse 6. As he said also in another place, thou art the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, that's Jesus in his earthly ministry, when he had offered up prayers and what? Supplications with strong crying and tears, his emotions were involved. It means whatever was driving that prayer, he had his full attention. Whatever was driving that prayer carried his affection, his entire being was into it. That means he delighted so much. Let me put this way. He wanted so much to fulfill God's will, he pursued in the grace of prayer. That's what it means. It says with tears, okay, strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was hard in that he what? He feared or he reverenced. This is Jesus, God in the flesh. This is how he prayed. Luke 22. I trust you are paying attention. Luke 22. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Verse 39. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray ye that ye enter not into what? Temptation. Can you see that? See, temptation is common to man. When we pray, we come out of it. That's important. Let me say it again. When you pray, to enter not into temptation means you don't fall for it. It doesn't mean temptation will not happen. Temptation is common to man. Temptation also means trials will come your way, but you're going to come out of it victorious. Do you understand that? And that says, pray ye that you enter not. So, next verse, verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about the stone scars, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Okay? And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, doing what? Strengthening. Now, let me say this. Of course, you realize that what Luke wrote here is a summary. Someone says, what was the content of what Jesus was praying for? Well, I believe he was praying what we find in John chapter 17. If you read the whole of John chapter 17, you will know what Jesus was praying about in the garden. Say amen. So go and read John chapter 17. That's an assignment. He was praying for you. He was praying for me. It was, Bible says, for the joy that was set before him. Okay? He endured the cross and despised what? The shame. So he saw, what was the joy that was pleased for him? You and I. He saw us. He prayed for us. So read the whole of John chapter 17. You will see John elaborated what Jesus prayed about. Luke only summarized it. Okay? So let's read on. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven and what? Strengthened him. After he received strength, look at what happened next. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly and his sweat was at his way, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Can you see that? So Jesus agonized in prayer. Again, that prayer could never have been to move God. It must mean in the place of prayer, listen carefully, we are offering cover for the operations of God on earth. In the place of prayer, we actually offer spiritual cover for the activity, for the plan, for the purpose of God upon the earth. That's what we do. In place of prayer. How many of you know the Bible says God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? Isn't it? 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? Question, why are all men not saved? Why are all men not saved? Who is meant to go to all men? You and I. Who is you and I? Laborers. What do you do about laborers? Pray the Lord of harvest that he may send laborers. Can you see the connection? Can you see the will of God is that all men should be saved? All men will be saved when laborers go. Laborers will only go when men are freed. Can you see the connection? So when God wants all men to be saved, that's God's will. Who will effect it? Laborers. How will laborers go? Under the cover of prayer. Hallelujah. Now let me ask again. Does that sound like prayer is something that you use to change God's mind? No. It is what you use to fulfill the will of God. That means without prayer, the will of God cannot be done. That's what it means. Oh, you need to get this. Jesus, in the days of his flesh, he offered up prayers with strong cryings. That is to tell you that there was no way he could have fulfilled the plan of redemption without praying. He was the Messiah. He was the Christ, Son of the living God. He was prophesied that he would walk in that, and yet he still needed to pray. Was he tempted not to go through with it? Yes. How did he overcome temptation? He prayed. He prayed so agonizingly until his vessels broke on the surface of the screen. That's how much he labored in prayer. What was he praying about? To fulfill God's will. To do it. Hallelujah. To do God's will. So it wasn't just cut and dried. It wasn't a done deal. No, he needed to pray. He needed to pray. You know, it's interesting. Jesus wants to pick 12 disciples and he prayed all night. 12 hours. Somebody says 1 hour for each one. One. Think about it. You're going to preach 12 men. Why is it so important? On their backs with the church rest. He prayed all night. Chibi, you are God. Just pick them. You, not you. You. No. You're too. Yeah, this too big. That one. Chibi is God. No, he prayed. Why? He was a man. So prayer is given to men in order to facilitate the plan and purpose of God. Psalm 115. Let's go back to that law. It's a law. It's a spiritual law. It's so important. Because when we come together as a people, as a church, and we pray, some people don't know, God must have had by now. Oh, no. It's not like God is like, okay, you did 2 hours. This one did three. You are not serious. No. It is that what we are dealing with requires that length of time before it to be accomplished. It's not of God. That's where the issue is. Psalm 115, verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the what? Earth, has he what? Given to the children of men. He has given to the children of men. So activities on the earth are carried out by men. Any activity on the earth is carried out by men. But there's the issue. It is not all men. The earth is given to men. Anybody that's a man, both believer and non-believer, the earth is given to them. Activities on the earth are carried out by men. So that means there are men who are on earth who are carrying out activities contrary to divine will and purpose. And they are men. And if there's anyone that God has not given you authority over, he has not given you authority over other men. No. He hasn't given us authority over them. Over demons, yes, but not over men. So many times when we pray and we take authority over demons, the demons that are controlling men, when they are banished or sacked from their activities, those men become normal. Or they are not able to pursue their wickedness. But it says the earth has he given to the children of men. That means God needs permission. God needs a cover for his activities to be manifest, and that cover is received in the place of prayer. So when we don't pray, we are actually limiting how much God's power can be at work. That's what we're doing. That's why a lot of evil happens when we don't pray. You know, again, I tell people, you see a minister died young. You see a minister involved in a car accident. You see a fellow saint that just passed on, leaving little children behind. And say, ah, we didn't know what's even happening. Some foolish people will say that. We don't know what God wants to use it to do. God doesn't use death. The only time he used death was in Christ Jesus. Through death, it destroyed him. That power of death, that is the devil. Hallelujah. Otherwise, death is an enemy. That's what, death is an enemy. So the reason why those things happen, premature death of a saint, of a minister, instead of us to cry in our closet that we failed in the place of prayer, we start saying that we don't even know how he was living. Can you see the problem? Because many times, the evil is happening because there's no prayer cover. Jesus prayed that the will of God be done. Jesus labored in prayer so that what God has said can come to pass. People prayed for Jesus to be born. We saw that in Luke chapter 2 last week. The woman prayed, serving God in fastings and prayer. What was she doing? Supplying prayer cover for Jesus to come forth. Don't you know it was prayer cover that brought the angel? We want to see some of that today. It was prayer cover that brought angel Gabriel to come to Zechariah's place. It was prayer cover because Zechariah had to have a son who will announce, according to Isaiah's prophecy, prepare ye the way of the Lord, who will announce the birth of Jesus. So Zechariah had to have a child, prayer cover. The child will have to be born some months before so that he can grow up enough to announce that the Messiah is coming. Hallelujah. Already spoke before the prophecy. Why didn't it just come to pass even though it's in prophecy? No. The earth has it given to the children of men. When the children of men pray, whatever is in heaven comes to the earth. Hallelujah. Let me see it that way. God uses our prayer to bear his purposes. Maybe that's easier to handle. God uses our prayer to bear his purposes. So if that is the case, what do you think will happen when we don't pray? God uses your prayer. Pray ye that the Lord of harvest, that he may send laborers. He is the Lord of harvest. He has laborers. Send them. How will he send? Prayer cover. What will the prayer do? Affect the laborers. How will it affect them? They will hear what God is saying. When they hear, what they will do? They will walk in it. As they are walking in, what do they need? More prayer. So they are laborers. Who don't even know they are laborers? So they first need to be taught. And when they have been taught, prayer cover will make them realize, I'm actually a laborer. I'm not just an architect. I'm a laborer. What will the prayer do? Push him out into the field to go and fulfill divine purpose. When he goes to fulfill, what will happen? Men will be saved. So the law of harvest is now sending forth laborers. How is it sending forth laborers? Through our prayers. Can you see the connection? Through our prayers. That's why our praying as a church is so important. Imagine how much of God's plans and purposes gets done because there's a local assembly praying constantly in the spirit. Constantly in the spirit. That's why the new birth is the cure for selfishness. Me, myself, and I. Me, my family, my husband, my people, no more. No. That's not a ministry of prayer. You have not even started ministry of prayer until you step over and you're praying for others, for the many things that God wants to do, for the many people that God wants to affect. Hallelujah. All the prayers Jesus is praying, and none of it was for himself. Everything was for concerning us, others. That was the emphasis. So God doesn't just come on the scene. He has to be invited. Invited in what sense? Not this formal invitation. It means the plan and purpose of God is already plainly revealed. But it doesn't come into manifestation until men pray. Why? It will be manifested through men. Men that will need to awake to righteousness. That's what our prayer does. Remember Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. We see Jesus agonizing. That is God in the flesh. If he agonize, again, prayer cannot be to move God. It must mean that prayer must be a tool to fulfilling divine purpose. Otherwise, you can't be more sincere than Jesus is. I mean, God should have seen Jesus, and you're crying like this. Oh yeah, take answer. No. In fact, let me put it this way, that to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world. So when Jesus was praying, who was praying through him? God. Because when it comes to the earth, prayer, We need to be prayed to allow God's power to work so that the will of God can be done. Let me say it this way. You've heard it in the news sometimes. A bomb was put at a train station in foreign nations and it went off and scores of people were killed. Some of those people were killed. They were marked for salvation by the Lord. But the terrorists destroyed their lives because that terrorist was controlled by the prince of the power of the air. Now, look at it this way. A terrorist controlled by the prince of the power of the air, so he fulfilled the will of the devil. Isn't it? Now, imagine another man. This one is not planting bombs. He's planting prayers. And when he's planting prayer, you know, I told somebody, I said, many times, when people refuse to repent, they walk out of the circumference of God's mercy. When this disaster occurs, it is not, pay attention, it's not that God killed them, that they killed themselves. Somebody is carrying a bomb to go and detonate at the church. He's been asked to repent. He's been asked to repent. He didn't repent. His conscience is pricking him. He didn't respond. Before he gets to the church, he made a mistake. The bomb went off. Did God kill him? Answer. Did God kill him? I know believers. My God is not asleep. My God finished him. Did God plant the bomb in his pocket? Who strapped the bomb to himself? The man. Who killed himself? So how did your God kill him? If your God is going to kill you, your God should have planted the bomb on him. I told you last week, that when the children of Israel prayed in the book of Esther, it was Mordecai that prepared gallows. It was not God. It was not angels. It was Mordecai. Amen, sorry. It was Amen. So hang who? Mordecai. So when they prayed, what happened to Amen? No. Some people just started talking what they shouldn't say when they prayed. I hope you know what happened. It was before the king. And then the king, Esther prayed. She got favor. That's what her prayer secured favor. He had an audience with the king. When the king asked, what do you want? He said, I'm inviting to a banquet. The king said, no problem. He said, are you an Amen? That one too was very happy. It's a foolish person. Very happy. He went together, said, okay, that. Then she started, you know, this women thing. Evil has been planned against me and my people. The king was saying, your people. Who dares to do such is this man. The king was very angry at the very thought. He walked out in anger. See what prayer? He walked out in anger. When he walked away in anger, a man knew the end was near. So he rushed to the queen. In order to appeal to her, to beg her, he put his head near her laps to beg. That was when the king came back. He said, in my presence. And the king of those days, they don't know what forgiveness is. He just called for the guards, take him away. Then those ones began to say, what did he ask them? Excuse me, sir. In fact, he has prepared gallows in his house. You must know the forces must be against you. If they are exposing what you have done in secret, say, he has done again. Just go hang him on it. Is it God that killed him? Talk now. Is it God that killed him? Is it God that prepared the gallows? He's the one that prepared the gallows. When the evil of men fall upon them, what is absent? God's mercy. What will have stopped the evil that they plan from coming on them? It will have been the mercy of God. When the mercy is removed, what happens? The evil men plan does what? Falls upon them. Do you understand? It's not that God said, God, my God never sleeps. He never slumped us. He didn't kill them. They rejected God's mercy. What happened? Because if there was no gallows, would there be anything to hang him on? No. He was the one who made the gallows. He was the one who made the gallows. That's what we need to realize about the operation of God. But what was designed to destroy Mordecai, destroy the whole of Israel, turn around in the place of prayer. What did prayer do? The will of God was not that they should perish. It was that they should live. Well, that will have passed automatically. No, they needed to pray. So they prayed. So that's what prayer received divine intervention. That's what happened. Now, I said that to let you see that Haman would have gotten his desires if they didn't pray. And people would have said, let the will of God be done. That's not the will of God. You must know what the will of God is. Hallelujah. We're supposed to be in Acts chapter 9, right? We went to Esther. Let's leave Esther alone. Verse 10, quickly. Let's read from verse 8. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And it was 3 days without said, neither did he eat nor drink, he was fasting. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, people think God just woke Ananias up. This man was in prayer. The Lord said in a vision. He was in prayer, and in prayer, what do you usually receive sometimes? A vision. So you are in the right posture. Jesus came to him in a vision. Hallelujah. Can you see that? So while he was praying, he was in a vision. Now, this is one of the most beautiful passages to express what kind of inheritance we have received. Jesus appeared to Saul. He brought Saul into the body of Christ by a vision. Jesus went to a member of that same body. He is the head. We're members of his body. He appeared to that member in a vision. This is to let you see what prayer does. See what happens next. Ananias, he said, "Behold, here I am, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go." But you just met this man on the road to Damascus. Why should I go again? Everything you want to do, just do it. No. He walks through his body. Are you with me? He walks through his body. That is how the Lord walks. He walks through his body. He says, "Go into the Swedish called street and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayed." You know when Jesus says you are praying, you must be praying. You must be praying. Do you understand that? If Jesus says you are praying, you must be what? Praying. So let me say this way. Behold, he does what? Prays. So let me ask you now if you need to be sharp about it. What was Saul praying about? What was Saul praying about? What did Jesus tell Saul to do when he got when in that vision? What did he tell you? Okay. He said, "Be reading 3 chapters a day, brethren." Let's go up. Verse 4. He felt that he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against priests." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what would thou have me do?" And he said, and the Lord said, "Arise, go where? Into the city. It shall be what? Told thee what thou must do." So, what is the first step? Go into the city. What will happen when you get to the city? It shall be told thee. So, when he was praying, what did he want to find out? So, who is going to tell him what to do? So, is it safe to say the prayer that Paul prayed was to get Ananias to come? Who is going to walk on Ananias to come? Who is going to get Ananias to come? I can't hear you. Who is going to get Ananias to come? The Lord Jesus now. Who appeared to Ananias? Is it you? Who appeared to Ananias? Who prayed the prayer? So Jesus said, "Ananias, Paul is praying. And that's why I have the right to come and meet you now. To send you to go and meet him." You need to see what prayer does. He's praying. He's responding right in prayer. The next phase of this, everything will be clear. Jesus, why couldn't you tell him anything? Everything. The earth has he given to the sons of men. So, Saul is praying. Paul is praying. While he's praying, Ananias has a vision. Jesus tells him, "You are now commissioned to go and meet him." Can you see that? Can you see the connection in prayer? So, here are 3 people. The Lord Jesus, Ananias, and Saul. And the will of God was effected through prayer. So that Jesus appeared to you in a vision doesn't mean you see no need to pray. Because it says it should be told you, but it wasn't told him. It should be told you. So when he began to pray, the rest of the instructions will come. Wow, truly a man that will also need to be sent. How was he released? By prayer. So through the cover of that prayer, Ananias was sent to go and meet Saul. In fact, not only that, Ananias had a revelation about where Paul was. Going, this is where he's staying. He lodges with so and so person. So when he got there, what did Ananias say? "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus appeared unto you and sent me." that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Can you see what's happening? What is God's plan? This is a chosen vessel unto me. I will show him how great things he will suffer for my sake. That's the plan. But for that to even happen, somebody has to pray for the instructions to even come. You know, here's the way we think. We think that I heard God a little. I didn't hear everything. God wants me to pray. So I will see I'm serious. He will not say the rest. So he just like, he kept quiet. He said more. Just saying. You know, people have all kinds of interpretations that God just said, I won't say the rest. He will become too lazy. He won't pray. No, no, no. You are the one that the prayer is helping. Because when you were praying, you became more sensitive and you could hear more. I remember Papa Egan spoke about how we delivered this vision to the body of Christ. Plans, purposes, and pursuits. He prayed for close to 2.5 hours. And then he began to say plans. He said plans, plans, plans. If you're in a hurry, you won't get it. He said plans, plans, plans for a long time. Then he said purposes, purposes. Then finally, and pursuits. When he said the last one, he was caught up in the vision. I asked myself this question. What if he didn't get that last one? Because what he brought to the body in that revelation is serious. And he kept praying. He was interpreting it. So he kept praying plans, 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 purposes, purposes, purposes. So he continued. When he said pursuit, he was just caught up in the vision. A 2.5 hours vision about certain corrections we needed to make in the body of Christ. And if he didn't say that last part, according to the things of the Spirit, he would not have aligned. What if you just said plans, 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 job? Plans, 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 job. I want to sleep. I said, plans, what is it? If you want to talk, talk. So, say what you want to say. What's all this? He's talking. You are the one who's not picking up. Because the more he prayed, the more he exercised his nature in Christ and left the senses. And the more he exercised his nature, the more he could hear accurately what he was meant to hear. Say amen. That's important. That's important. You see, we're not joint ears as a figure of speech. We are really joint ears. That's why Jesus had to go to Ananias. You are a member of this family. We have a new family member that needs help. Go and meet him. But you are the head. Go and meet him. That's not how he works in this family. Under prayer cover, I come. I'm the head. I commission you. You go and meet him. Through the laying of hands of Ananias, Paul was activated. Hallelujah. No wonder Paul kept saying, pray for us. But Paul, you're an apostle. A mighty apostle. Pray for us. Philippians 1, verse 19. This is one of those verses that the day I stumbled upon it, I read it. I'm like, no. It can't be saying what I think he's saying. The more I read, the more I realize what he's saying. Can you see? He didn't say, I guess. For I know. Paul was writing this in prison. I know. This shall turn to my salvation. The word salvation is what deliverance. Through your prayer. Because your prayer will effect a supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Will Jesus come to prison to free me? No. How will he come? Through your prayer. What will your prayer produce? Supply of the Spirit. What will that supply do? I'll be free from prison. Paul, can't you pray by yourself? He said, no. There has to be a supply. A supply the whole church will have to make available. I know this shall turn. That means there was no guessing. Paul knew exactly what their prayers would do. He knew the efficacy of the prayer. He said that when you pray for them, I know this shall turn to my deliverance. Through your prayers, and your prayers will produce the supply of the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. So everything that is available in redemption is what that prayer covers. That's what you mean by supply of the Spirit. If the scripture has been fulfilled, the angel of God then come and fear him and deliver them, that prayer will cover it. I know this shall turn. So it was a situation that was terrible. It will turn means something will be thrown into the mix. And what was meant for evil will turn to good. That's what he was saying. It will turn to my deliverance. He said it will be done through your praying. So many times evil is determined, but it can be turned. It is not that God wants evil to happen. It is that the saints are not praying. The activity of God is in the prayer of the saints. The activity of God in the earth is in the prayer of the saints. It's in the prayer of the saints. The activity of God in the earth is in the prayer of the saints. That's what it means. Psalm 103 verse 19 and 20. Psalm 103 verse 19 and 20. The Lord has prepared the stones in the heavens. His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength, that do his what? Commandments, hearkening to what? The voice of his word. Let me ask you a question. Who gives voice to God's word? Man. Where do we do it the most? In prayers. So he says, bless the Lord, you his angels. You excel in strength. You do his commandments, or your strength is in doing his commandments. The strength you have is for doing his commandments. How do you get to hear his commandments? You hearken to the voice of his word. How do you hear the voice of his word? In the place of prayer. So people have asked me the question, Pastor, can we command our angels? I tell them, you can pray. Can we say, angels, so and so, come on. Do you even know his name? You don't know his name. Come here. Go and get. We don't have such examples in the Bible. What example do we have? We pray. Jesus prayed. An angel appeared to strengthen him from his prayer. So his prayer activated the ministry of angels. When he was caught in that same garden and they wanted to defend him, he told them, don't you think that even now I can ask my father and they will send 12 legions of angels. I will ask his, I will pray the father, he will send. So obviously, the voice of his word is heard where? In prayer. When we pray, the voice of his word is what is going out in prayer and it activates the ministry of angels. Hallelujah. That's what it does. So it is spiritual cover for the ministry of angels. What are they ordained to do? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be what? Heirs of salvation. Hebrews 1:14. How will they minister? He just told you, they hearken to the voice of his word. They are excelling strength, they hearken. The voice of his word in the place of prayer is what the angels hearken to. So someone says, can we command angels? Yes and no. No in the sense that you can't call them by name and command them. But in the place of prayer, commands are issued that you may not even be aware of, except God gives an invitation, that angels hearken to and they go to work on our behalf. Hallelujah. That happens a lot. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are we in Acts chapter 12? We don't have time to go to all the scriptures, but then we'll touch a few before we go home tonight. I just want you to see that the prayer of the saints is not to move God. It's to fast forward God's purposes. It's a cover for God's purposes. Or God uses our prayer to perform and to perfect his plans and purposes. That's why you cannot pray like the Eden do. You don't use prayer to untwist God. You don't see, if God can see the way I'm really praying, he will say, no, this boy is serious. That's not the issue. You should be serious in praying because you are churning out power. You are making power available that is dynamic in his usage. That's what you're doing. But don't think it is to move God. It is that cover or that prayer that God uses to grant requests, to sort out issues, to meet our needs. That's what our prayer does, because we're joint heirs with Christ. So if that inheritance is in us, that's why Jesus could appear to Ananias and tell him, go and do this. Who was praying? Saul. Who was answering the prayer? Jesus. How did he answer? Through another saint. Can you see why we pray for one another? Yeah, we pray for one another. So when I'm praying for you many times, and there is an issue or a situation or a difficulty, angels will hear as I'm praying, and will come to your rescue and to your aid. Remember the testimony I told you about those missionaries? I went to that village to go and rescue that girl that was kidnapped in the other village. How many remember that story? And they were confronted by the natives in the middle of the night. And they were about to cut off their heads. And suddenly the natives fell down before them and started worshipping them, because they saw two mighty angels. A week after, the missionary discovered there was another saint in another village. A missionary also. A woman who was praying. She prayed and prayed and prayed. And when she prayed, the angels received their instructions to go in that prayer. And they went to save that missionary. What would have happened? We just have heard the missionary died. His head was cut off. What do you think? Does Jesus want everybody to be a martyr? Start thinking. Look at everybody that's serving Jesus. Must die for serving him. No. No, that's not it. It was because there was prayer cover to effect God's plan and purposes in that situation. Say amen. Hallelujah. Are you in Acts chapter 12? I'm going to read from verse 1. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four companions of soldiers to keep him, intending, that was intention, after Easter to bring him forth to the people. How much is four companions? 16, thank you. So, a companion is what? Four. So that's 16 soldiers, one person. That means that you are going nowhere. Even if they storm the prison, you cannot be free. Verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Oh, glory to God. But prayer was made without what? Ceasing of the church unto God. What kind of prayer is that? Supplication. It was made unto God for who? Now, look at the phrasing. It was made unto who? For who? For Peter. So, did God want Peter to die? Will Peter have died? Did they kill James? They did, though. You are still wondering. He just killed James. In fact, after killing James, he became more bold. Oh, so these people can be killed. Let's go for the second henchman. So they went after. What mistake did the church do with James? They didn't pray. Ah, Apostle James. It's a man of prayer. Nothing can happen. Until something happened. Then they took Peter. Ah, that's the voice of the church. Prayer was made without ceasing. The church learned the hard way. That the power to rescue Peter is in your hands. Who will do the rescue? God. How will God rescue Peter? Through our prayers. Prayer was made unto God. Now, this is where people miss it. They didn't pray. Listen to what I'm about to say. The way I'm going to say. They didn't pray to persuade God. God. This is how you'll be looking. They cut off James. So you're going to let them keep Peter too. That's not the prayer. Wickedness is planned against Peter. They prayed to God for Peter. So what did their prayer do? Again, it now look as though, how do we persuade God? Don't let bad thing happen. Is this how you'll be looking? Again, no. Prayer was made without ceasing. It means there was something about the fervent and effectual prayer. There was a supply of tremendous power that released an angel. Because God was not the one who wanted Peter to die. God also was letting Peter being delivered. So God did not need to be persuaded. There had to be enough power to release an angel. An angel is God's will for deliverance. But apparently that angel cannot just come on the scene without the saints praying. Hallelujah. See, angels are not men. See, angels are not men. Let that sink in. That is why they cannot do just anything at any time. They need cover. What is the assignment to minister to us? How do they minister to us? It's in prayer. That's when they receive instructions. Because they are not men. That's why they cannot just act anytime they want to. So, how do we increase the chances of them working? We simply pray more. Hallelujah. Would they have saved James? Oh, yes. He's a saint also. So, when they saw the mistake they made, they began to pray. Without ceasing means there was a prayer chain. And when they prayed, an angel was released that went to Peter and rescued Peter from prison in a supernatural way. God is not short of avenues or ways. It is we that we are short of prayers. Hallelujah. It's we that we're short of prayers. He's not short of avenues or ways to rescue people. So it is that praying. See what it says? When he was kept in prison, prayer, and when Edward would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Yep, next verse. And behold, the angel came upon him, and the light shined in prison, and he smote Peter on the side. So there was enough power generated. Now, let me say this. Well, we're not looking at angels now. We did a series on angels some time back. But angels, they walk around us, listen carefully, mostly on sin. They are walking. They rescue, they deliver, they save without being seen. Now, it takes a lot of power for an angel to manifest to you. Because it's breaking out of his realm to your realm. Not only breaking out, for him to touch you, there has to be power. He will tap you, you will see him. So this angel came, the light shined. This angel tapped Peter. So his body became material enough
to contact Peter's material. But how many of you are not? In case you think, after all that prayer, all the angel did was just, you don't know, the angel came in, didn't pass through the doors. He came in, the soldiers were still sleeping. As power. And came in, tapped Peter. Enough for Peter to wake up. Peter, you know, when he tapped it like this, he must be seriously asleep. That also tells you Peter was not afraid. People that are afraid that they will kill them the next day, they don't sleep like that too. When you come to prison, you see them on this, close to the wall. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Peter was sleeping soundly. That's the story for another day. Was Peter going to die? I'll leave you think about it. But Jesus had told Peter how he was going to die. And didn't tell him to be in this kind of prison. He said, when you are old, and that will lead you in the direction where you don't want to go. When you are old. So you won't die young. When you are old. Another. Let's leave that one. But look at what happened. So he spoke and raised him up. So the angel did what? Raised him up. Saying, arise up quickly. And his chains what? Is that power? The chains just fall. I know, try it. See, even your wristwatch does not just fall. Something make it fall. Not talk of chains. He now says, and he says, get yourself, bind on Silas. And so he did. He said, cast your garment about thee, and what? Follow me. Why did the angel come? In response to the prayer. Prayer was made without what? Season. Until deliverance was complete. How do we know it was made without season? If you followed the chapter, you see something. By the time Peter came out of prison, an angel left, and Peter got to the house, they were still praying. That means the prayer covered all the household activities. Till Peter got to the house, they continued praying. It was when Peter got to the house and told them, it is me. That's when they stopped praying. That's serious prayer. It's the kind of prayer you pray until the full manifestation of deliverance comes. They really prayed. They just saw. Ah. Is that how James would just die? They now took Peter. No. So when we pray and we live in prayers for saints, we say we are praying for meeting. Again, you know, sometimes our mind we're thinking, let's pray for Holy Ghost meeting. Let's pray for a Sunday service. As some of us are thinking, let's try to get God to come. Let's pray. Let's tell him that we're very serious. You know, in that, I mean, sometimes things like that. That's what we're trying to do. I'm showing from scriptures to persuade God is not the issue. See, he is already persuaded about you when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus. He's not training us to see that there is a role our prayer plays when it comes to manifestation of his power. That he seemingly cannot do much for us. See, he said he placed the power in you. And the power he placed in you is released as you pray. Now you are not praying. How will the power manifest? Except God is lying that the power is not in you. How many of you get what I'm just saying? That's why we pray for people to be saved. Because that is how God's saving power comes into people's lives when we pray. So it's not that God is reluctant. It's like, so to speak, how much it can manifest is determined by the prayer of the saints. That's why it's so important. Glory to God. That's why it's so important that we pray. So this story is, look at Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5. We're going to stop shortly. Because we just mentioned an angel right now, so Revelation chapter 5. We'll look at the book of Revelation one of these days. When some people see that book, they are not sure they will make heaven. Am I lying? Verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders, they fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them what? Harps and golden vials, full of what? Odors, which are, is your prayer an odor? Is your prayer an odor? No, will ask brethren. They always are afraid to answer that. What if I say no? Yes, if not say no. Okay. But anyway, let me put it this way. The book of Revelation is a book that's full of imagery. Okay. Your prayers are not odors. The word odor there is a figure of speech to show what your prayer does. But notice, they are using the prayer of the saints here. Now, chapter 8. Let's look at verse 3. Chapter 8, verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of what? All saints upon the golden altar, which was before the truth. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayer of the saints. Can you see prayer? So I'm going to call someone and say, and ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer filled with what? The fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth. And there were what? Voices and thunderings and lightnings and what? Earthquake. Now again, if you get lost in the imagery, you've missed the message. What is this trying to tell you? The angel's activity is governed by the prayer of the saints. That's what he's trying to say. The lightnings, the thunderings, the earthquake, he's simply telling you angelic activity in the earth is governed by what? The prayer of the saints. That's what he's trying to say. He's not telling you to look for lightning and earthquake. Amen. The censer, you know, it's very interesting. The censer is filled with what? The prayer of the saints. So the prayer of the saints is the what? Incense. When you know some people, they use incense now. It's the incense prayer. So is incense what? Is the incense prayer? Okay, so who is supposed to be using the incense? Angels. In the temple, who offers incense? Priests. Who is a priest today? Who is Jesus? Okay, Jesus is a priest. Who else is a priest today? You are a priest now. Meaning us kings and priests. So when we say go and offer incense, what are we asking you to do? Thank you. Is that clear now? Go and offer incense to God. Should you go and buy Tulare? Can you see this problem? He has made us kings and priests unto our God. What do priests offer? Incense. What's our incense? Prayers. What do angels do with our incense? It's their covering for walking. That's what they use to act on earth. That's all they are trying to say. Don't be looking for lightning and thunder. So lightning and thunder is talking about angelic activity. The lightning is the thunder in the earthquake. You don't believe me that it's earthquake is in the activity. I hope you know. Okay, we'll not go there one tonight. Acts chapter 16. Saul and Barnabas in prison. What happened? Saul and what? Silas and Paul and Silas. What happened in prison? When in prison, what happened in prison? I don't know why some people would teach that that was a coincidence. I don't understand. That you would teach that that was something. How can you call that kind of manifestation a coincidence? When the only place where the chains fell off the hands of prisoners is in the prison. How can you call that a coincidence? And this particular earthquake destroyed nothing. And earthquakes destroy. I mean, some things are just take a little. Bible says sometimes when people slow down to try to downplay God's power in the same name of teaching that they just get into some other things. All the chains fell off, nobody died, the prison did not collapse, but the prison doors only opened from the earthquake. That's a supernatural force now. Earthquakes destroy half of a city. Have you heard about that? So this kind of earthquake only broke your chains, open your prison doors only. That's an angelic manifestation. That's what he did. So he's telling you through the prayers. What did Paul and Silas do? They prayed and sang praises. They prayed and sang praises. They prayed and what? Sang praises. Cover for angelic activity. That's what happened. And angelic activity was made manifest. So what the writer of Revelation is telling you is that the angels use the prayer of the saints as a cover for their what? Activity. So dear saints, dear priests of God, pray. Pray for me. Okay, you don't have prayer point. Pray for me. Because I am praying for you. I can't have a prayer life that's governed by praying for myself alone. No. I have to pray for you before I can say I have a prayer life. But that's what God expects of me. So the more I pray for you, the more we see God's will being done in your life. Hallelujah. Paul kept praying for the saints, and Paul says, pray for us. And for me also, that utterance may be given unto me. Did Paul have revelation? Yes. But Paul said, pray that utterance will be given. That I should make known as I ought to. Paul, you know how to say as I ought. Was Paul subject to fear sometimes? Oh, yes. I showed you last week, the revelation that was in last week. I showed you how Jesus appeared to Paul and told him, don't be afraid. How much people in this city? What does that tell you? It was afraid though. You think Paul was always bold? I know. He's a man like you and I. Paul prayed for Timothy. And prayed. When he was praying, God has not given me spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and what? A sound mind. I remember you in my prayers day and night. Be mindful of your tears. 2 Timothy 1 from verse 3. So he prayed for Timothy and he says, day and night, I'm praying for you. So in doing God's will, we have to pray for men. We pray them until they're able to do God's will. That they know God's will is one thing. That they will do it is another matter. It's not everyone who knows God's will that does God's will. It is prayer that makes men do God's will. Jesus used an example. Jesus knew the will of God was to go to the cross. Jesus prayed himself to be steady before he went. Glory to God. All right. So I think we can stop this series today. Amen.